Prime Time replay from Money FM 89.3. On Money FM 89.3, Sport On with the Straits Times Sports Desk.
Well, this is Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. It's time for Sport On, where we collaborate with our ST Sports Desk podcast, a game of two halves. Well, I'm Bernard Lim, and with me are my colleagues from the Straits Times, Assistant Sports Editor Rohit Brijnath, and Sports Correspondent David Lee. Hello, gentlemen. Welcome back to the show.
Hi, Bernard.
Hey, good to be here.
Well, today in the first half of the show, we're going to lay down the ground rules, and we're going to talk about discipline at home and the international football fronts as well. Now, last week, national defender Shakir Hamza was dropped by the national football coach Tetsuma Yoshida for a friendly against Qatar, and tomorrow's World Cup qualifier against Yemen as well for missing a training session earlier. And this is around the same time when the England manager Gareth Southgate dropped Raheem Sterling for picking a fight with international teammate Joe Gomez during training. So, David, what are your thoughts about both decisions, both discipline decisions?
Right, I think Yoshida and Southgate got him spot on. Now, I'm willing to give Shakir the benefit of the doubt. You know, he missed the training session. He might have had a valid reason. But the issue here is not communicating with the team officials why he needed time off and taking matter into his own hands. Similarly for Sterling, you know, I read a commentary that felt he's being punished and publicly castigated by the England team for being emotional, you know, when he tried to pick a fight with Joe Gomez. But I don't think so, you know. His fault was not being emotional. If Sterling had shown, you know, the passion and emotion during the Liverpool and Man City game, that could have passed as acceptable. But this was a couple of days later, picking a fight with someone who is now your international teammate. You know, so in both situations, what would the players think, you know, if the incidents were swept under the carpet? You know, that it is okay to take matter into your own hands and act willfully? Surely that must not be the case. So I thought both Yoshida and Southgate made big calls, but the right decisions.
Well, I first read the story about Sterling and Gomez. I also thought about the Liverpool-Man City rivalry. I thought, because they're all competing very closely, you know, especially that the weekend game that we saw.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, we are living in generations of player power. I mean, players are so big, it's unbelievable. And I feel that, you know, if you want to manage a team, you've got to draw a line. And I think that, you know, discipline is a non-negotiable thing. Yeah, passion is fine and emotion and all these things that we keep saying. But I think that discipline is key. You know, the same rule has to apply to everybody. It's the only way you're going to have order in a team. And especially for teams, and I would, looking at, you know, the Singapore team or whatever, teams which are not particularly, let's say, great or don't have that many great players or whatever, then you've got to be even probably more disciplined. You've got to do everything, all the small things really well to make a big impact.
Right.
So I think that's really important. I also think generally, I mean, I feel that fining for me is a good thing. You know, because I think like fining sometimes, in some places, fining hurts more. In the other places, a ban on. So it depends on place to place.
It's
the
rich players.
I think maybe
hurts,
in England, a fine means nothing.
Yeah, that's
maybe
true.
In Singapore, a fine would mean something.
Yeah.
And so look, we don't want to be overly harsh or whatever, but you got to make a point. And I think that a coach, you know, coaches are, you know, players all over the world, you know, players want, you know, they get upset with a coach, they want to remove him, they start whining. But you got to give the coach the authority to lose.
I think it's interesting that Rohit brought up the matter of fines. You know, in the same week as these two incidents happened, you know, in the same week we saw a list of fines from Chelsea Football Club circulating on social media. You know, the fines range from £500 for every minute that you're late for team meetings to £20,000.
Wow.
for being late for the start of training, £20,000. You know, that's a fortune to us, but, you know, probably loose change to the players. I think what these shows is that disciplinary issues exist not just in amateur teams, you know, or lower ranked teams, but also at world class professional clubs. If not, why would there be a need to have this list endorsed by the Chelsea manager Frank Lampard, right?
So I hearing what you guys said, so we all agree that exceptions should not be made.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
it's a tough one.
I think you could, so say somebody suddenly, you know, his wife is not expected to have a baby. His wife suddenly has a baby. He can't make it for practice. Is one thing, you know.
Right.
right. but you can communicate, right?
Right.
Things happen. Sometimes people can't make it to practice. Something goes wrong. Your mm-hmm. car breaks down. All sorts of things are possible, right? Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, you live in a modern world. You have a phone. You know, you can communicate. You have to. Part of discipline is showing respect for your teammates.
Correct.
You know? I remember a cricket captain of India once telling me that the guy who came late for the bus in the morning,
right.
he's showing disrespect to his team.
Right.
That's what he's doing. He's making everybody else wait.
Right.
And that's not fair. So maybe you can't have a proper practice because one guy is missing in defense or an attack. Mm. So I think that's also a way to look at it. And I like teams who have leadership groups wherein the players themselves find other players. And, you know, so, you know, they put the discipline in place themselves. You know, and the coach says, what do you want? And they say, look, this is the type of system we want. Mm. I like that because that's taking ownership of your team.
Yes, mm-hmm. But some people would say that, you know, exceptions should be made for exceptional players. I think of the example of how Sir Alex Ferguson used to give plenty of leeway to players like Eric Cantona
yeah. right.
and Cristiano Ronaldo, mm-hmm. and they repaid him by leading the teams to so many trophies. Mm-hmm. But I just feel, you know, there's this danger of upsetting the dressing room with the double standards. Mm-hmm. Players should be counseled, not condemned right away, but, mm-hmm. you know, like Rohit said, discipline and decorum must be the pillars of any team that wants to be successful.
I think Alex Ferguson, I remember once with Cantona was wearing the wrong clothes at a function and he didn't say anything to him. But I'm sure even with Cantona, there was a line that, you know, he'd go this far with him and maybe not that far or whatever. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, that's an old thing, you know. Would you make an exception for Lionel Messi? Yeah, you would say probably here and there, but as long as it didn't become a pattern.
Right.
Because
right.
if it becomes, you know, if Messi's late once, you might say, okay, man, for you might let him go. But if he did it 5-10 times, then of course he's just ruining the team culture.
Well, you're listening to Spot On here, Money FM 89.3, together with the Straits Times, a Game of Two Halves a podcast. You can listen to us live right here, Money FM 89.3, and from 5:15 p.m. on Monday. Or you can subscribe to a Game of Two Halves on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Spotify, and like us and give us a rating as well. Now back to the second half of our conversation with our ST Sports podcasters. We're over in London. Big news yesterday. Stefanos Tsitsipas won the ATP finals in London after beating Dominic Thiem 6-7, 6-2, 7-6. Rohit, you're a big tennis fan. How important is this victory for Tsitsipas?
Yeah, I think really, really big. I think he's very young. You don't usually nowadays find players so young doing great things. He's 21, which is really young in tennis. I mean, I mm-hmm. think the days of Boris Becker at 17 winning stuff have all gone, because physically I don't think players are going to be ready as teenagers mm-hmm. for the hard grind of what modern tennis is. So I think it's a huge... I think all players want to do, you know, there are stages you have to go through. You know, you have to win certain levels of tournaments. You need to beat certain types of players, you know. So I think he did a couple of things at this tournament. You know, first is, of course, he won it. So it's the biggest tournament that he's ever won. Mm-hmm. So at a big stage, you need to show that you have the nerve to do it. And I think that's very important. He beat Federer, which I thought was very important, because Federer is an emotional favorite everywhere he goes. So sometimes you're not just beating Federer, you're beating the legend, you're beating the crowd, you're beating the occasion, you're doing all those things. So that's also an examination. Mm-hmm. And I think he did all those things well. And these young guys, I think what I find fascinating about them is the team and Tsitsipas, for example, in the final. My God, they just hit the ball, you know, they're not hitting it. They're like murdering it, you know. They're not hesitant at all, you know.
Right,
they
right.
just go for it, you know. And I think when you play at that level of high risk sometimes, you can make a lot of errors at times, but at times when it works, it is phenomenal to watch. And the speed, and I think what happened, you can make out when Tsitsipas was playing Federer in the semis that he was just operating in a slightly different speed than Federer. And to be fair, Federer is 17 years older than him.
Yeah.
So I think it showed a little bit.
Okay. Well, you mentioned a team as well. So obviously, a team and Tsitsipas were battling out in the finals. And in fact, none of the big three, I mean, here I'm talking about Federer, Djokovic and Nadal, made it into the finals. So is that an ominous sign for 2020?
So I think it's a very exciting sign for 2020.
I mean,
one of the things is that, you know, there's in sport, you want the romance of the old guys, you know, who've been hanging on, and yet you want renewal. So you want these two things all at once. I think the old guys won all the majors this year, right? You know, 2 to Djokovic, 2 to Nadal, right? 6 out of the 8 finalists in the Grand Slams were the old guys. So the old guys still rule the game, but you can see these young guys slowly making inroads into the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that I mean, Thiem beat Djokovic in London, Tsitsipas beat Federer, Zverev beat Nadal.
Mm.
So there are these wins coming up slowly. You know, obviously you need to do it at the Grand Slam. So I was writing my column, I'm saying that I want to just fast forward through December and go straight to January and the Australian Open, because it's going to be fantastic.
Right.
Because eventually, okay, so Federer is different because Federer is 38. So he definitely is, you can see his game flickers, you know, it comes to life and then, you know, it sort of gets, it's a little subdued. So I think Federer's having a bit of a consistency problem. Nadal's issue is always his body. I mean, when his body is okay, he's brilliant. Djokovic at the moment is a bit of an enigma. So you have these three old guys who are won, I think, 55 Grand Slams between them, and you have these young guys who have zero.
Mm.
So it's basically, it's four young guys, Medvedev, Zverev, Thiem, and Tsitsipas against, so four against three pensioners, which sounds like a fair fight.
Okay,
because those three guys are so good.
Yeah.
Right? So I think it's going to be an unbelievable year.
Right. And do you say that the game is in good hands going forward?
I think the game first has to change hands. So I'm not going to say that those guys have the game yet, the young guys. But I think that they are very exciting, right? It's almost impossible to compare them to Federer, Nadal and Djokovic, because they are the greatest generation in tennis by such a large margin that it's almost ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Though there was a generation of the Australians in the 1950s who were also fantastic. But I think you got to take people, you know, for who they are. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what's interesting for me is that all these guys are European. You know, Medvedev is from Russia.
Mm-hmm.
Zverev is from Germany. Thiem is from Austria.
Tsitsipas
and Tsitsipas
is
from Greek.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, does any other continent play tennis? because, you know, these other three guys are also European. You know, Federer, Nadal and Djokovic. So it's just like a intra-European tussle going on at the moment.
Okay, very quickly, let's squeeze in a very last question for today. On world-class action, the Seamaster T2 Diamond Tournament takes place at our Tampines Hub from Thursday to Sunday this week, featuring the world's top table tennis players. Very quickly, tell us, why should fans turn up for this event?
Okay, because it's not every day that you get, you know, all these world-class paddlers turning up on your shores, showcasing their abilities in the flesh. You get to watch them in the flesh.
Mm.
And these are players in the world's top 10. You know, we have you talk about generations in tennis. These are the legendary table tennis players from China, players like Ma Long, Xu Xing, you know, Ding Ning.
Mm-hmm.
And even, you know, the next generation of wonder kids from Japan and even Taiwan, such as Mima Ito, Miu Hirano, Tomokazu Harimoto, and Li Yunji. You don't have to wait until next year's Olympics to watch them. You know, they are turning up at Tampines. You know, how more convenient do you want them to make it for you?
And if I can make a quick point, I really believe that if we have to build a sports culture here in Singapore, we've got to go and watch sport.
Mm.
You know, just wander down to these places. They're not always expensive to watch or anything like that.
Mm.
Cheer for people. And live sport, seen from close up, has as different energy and beauty to it
than watching it on television.
Absolutely, no question about it.
Right, and also a shout out to our very own players. You know, Feng Tianwei, Yu Mengyu, and Clarence Chu are also featured in this tournament. So, you know, it's the school holidays. Parents who want their children to pick up a sport, you know, even to learn some of its positive values, should definitely head down to watch the T2 Diamond Tournament.
Yeah, nothing like giving local players, you know, your support. You know, people always play better when they have support. You
Absolutely.
Know, it's the best gift you can give a player is presence, is your presence.
Wow. Well said, Rohit. Well said. There goes the final whistle for our sports discussion this week. We hope you really enjoyed listening to us. Thank you very much, Rohit Brijnath, and also David Lee. Thank you for coming into the studio today.
Thanks, Bernard.
Good to be here.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.